ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Look around you. Every object has a purpose, but some also have a story. Over generations, humans have crafted tools that are so efficient, so perfectly suited to their task, they fade into the background. Until you stop and really look. Welcome to Extraordinary Everyday, where we uncover the hidden stories in plain sight. I'm Anthony Burke. We use them every day to secure our houses, cars, bikes, and places of work. If you lose them, it can be a major hassle. Some people hide a spare set inside a fake rock in their front yard. But have you ever thought about their origins? We're talking about keys and locks. Most of us carry keys every day, but keys and locks are actually an ancient technology. Aaron Smith is a locksmith known as the keyhole surgeon. He's taught in the locksmithing department at Melbourne Polytechnic, and he's also travelled to the UK and Europe to study heritage lock making and restoration of locks and keys. Aaron, how are you going?
Really well, thank you very much.
Let's start with this, a little bit of a kind of an explainer for the people like me who don't really understand how keys and locks work properly. How does a modern key and lock work, say, for your front door?
Sure. So inside that lock, there are a number of components, but basically one that rotates, one that stays still, and there's parts that are blocking the rotation of that rotating part. And when you put your key in, you align all of these little pins, which are acting like blockers, and once they're all lifted to the correct height, you can rotate the key, and then that manipulates inside the lock and will open your door.
When you describe it like that, it sounds like a fairly straightforward mechanical action, but I bet it's more complicated than that, right?
It definitely can be. The more complex, the more expensive the key, but more secure.
So look, when were the earliest locks used?
We think that the technology has been around since ancient Sumeria, and we've been able to actually find a number of locks in ancient Sumeria, and we have examples of locks in Egypt.
And how old are we talking here? How many thousand years ago?
4,500 years. As long as we've had something that we want to secure, we've had locks.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So what materials were these early locks and keys made out of?
A lot of iron and brass, but predominantly iron. The Egyptians, though, did use timber.
Timber?
So they would have basically a block on the door, and inside that block would be a bolt made of timber, and inside that would be some little pins that'd be gravity assisted. You put your hand through the hole in the door with a key, or what would be basically a plank of timber with some pins or some prongs sticking up, and you would put it in and they would align with those pins, and as you pushed and then pulled it back, it would retract the bolt and you'd be able to open the door.
So that sounds like a pretty large thing.
Very big.
Give me a sense of dimension here. How big is the key?
The key would be nearly a foot long.
Yeah, right.
And it would be worn by a very well-trusted slave, because obviously you're rich enough to have a lock. You know, you'd employ someone to open it for you.
So how did the Romans update the idea of locks and keys?
The Romans shrunk the technology and predominantly used a lot more iron in their construction, and that's why we've been able to find them in places like Pompeii. And we can still actually see some Roman locks still being in operation today. If you go to the Temple of Romulus or the Parthenon, those doors are from the Roman times.
Wow,
and the locks and are still working.
Were locks sort of treated like jewellery? Like, you know, there was sort of a prestige to them?
Very much so. There's actually been examples of key rings, so rings with keys ornately carved on them so that you could take that key off and be able to open your lock. We do find that predominantly in medieval times. The bigger the lock, more ornate, we'd see things like dragons and ornate motifs being actually pressed in, and the prestige of the lock maker and the owner would be on display for everyone to see.
What kind of profession was a locksmith back then? I imagine it was quite an elite thing.
The best of the best of blacksmiths. So, you know, they were able to make springs and be able to fashion and make internal components. So there was a lot more mechanical awareness of what was actually going on inside the lock. So there was a lot more work going on than just building a couple of nails.
So like a kind of a mechanical medieval wizard.
Exactly.
So let's talk about medieval Europe. I can sort of start to picture what that might look like now in the sense of the scale and the ubiquity of locks and keys. Were they getting around more? Were they more common at that point in medieval Europe, or still something only for the wealthy?
They were still predominantly used for the wealthy. So think of things like churches, vestries, seats of power, those larger scale public buildings. That's where we'd predominantly see locks. Or perhaps as we were transferring silver and gold, we'd perhaps maybe start to build coffers and things like that out of oak and then have them wrapped in bands of iron with maybe a lock or a padlock attached.
How secure actually were they for all of this, you know, carry on? Did they actually do the job?
In the day, yes, because you would have to have been able to understand what was going on inside the lock. We had a term, security through obscurity. So there was these guilds that would share technology and secrets but wouldn't be predominantly known beyond the guild. And the term skeleton key comes from the ability for you to remove all of the security components that would be on the key that the key would have to try to bypass, and you'd be only left over with the bare bones of the metal. So essentially, if you could get a wire in there, theoretically, that'd be fairly easy to open.
So then we skip forward to the Industrial Revolution now. I mean, at this point, I'm imagining we've got a whole, we kind of go into production like everything else with keys and locks. I'm assuming that. Is that true?
Yes, we're moving away from the artisan one-off manufacturer of one lock as an example of their skill and moving into these mass manufacturing using the technology of the day, like screws, lathes, mills, machines that make other machines are starting to come in. And we're seeing this move away from artisan skills to more mass manufactured, quick reproduction on a huge scale.
So does that mean locks and keys kind of got boring in the Industrial Revolution?
No. We had a veritable arms race between manufacturers.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, the guilds started to collapse and security moved into the sphere of science, and the learned men turned their attention to the problems of the day of thievery and wealth being moved around when it wasn't necessarily supposed to. And these great thinkers started to build the better lock. And very, very quickly, there was competition between who could say their lock was impregnable or unopenable or pick-proof. And they would have massive competitions for picking locks and building better safes. And there's even examples, unfortunately, of some unscrupulous manufacturers testing other people's safes and blowing them up in front of large crowds of people to prove their point.
So this is a... Well, this is the kind of commercialization of the key and lock for, as you said, like a mass audience now.
Correct. Yeah, as people moved away from those subsistence farmings and moved into towns and factories and things like that, we see these conglomeration of wealth.
How do locks kind of reflect the society in that they exist within?
Locks are a direct response to the society that they're in. So door locks that are used in Europe are much more robust and strong, as you think that the front door of a European apartment is the primary entry and exit point. That is the point of security. Whereas Australian locks are predominantly made for convenience and our way of life of having big open glass and lots of sliding doors and things like that. Whereas locks in India, very robust, very chunky, cheap to manufacture, but are designed to last in very, very trying environmental conditions, the same as the locks in Finland. Very precise, but designed to suit sub-zero temperatures.
With all of that thinking then, how safe are our houses today? Let's put it that way. What's involved in picking a lock today?
A lot of skill and a lot of time. Now, there are devices that you can use or purchase online that will assist you in picking, but still, you need to have a fundamental understanding of what's going on inside the lock. And the idea of locks is to simply buy you more time. What we're aiming for as a locksmith is to increase the chances of detection so that someone will either see that you're trying to break in and you're not supposed to be there.
Right. Okay. And so now let's introduce the whole idea of the electronic and smart locks and these types of things that are coming to market now. And, you know, especially I'm thinking you can go down to your local hardware store, pick up an electronic or a digital security system and sort of a way, it's self-install almost. I mean, what's going on in that space?
Well, as we move to having semiconductors and better battery technology, these locks are just absolutely growing year on year on year as more and more people in the market want to take hold of their own security and maybe move away from having to use a locksmith to change a key, to change a code inside something. They're able to self-manage and manage their own security, feel a bit more maybe control over it. But like with all things, if it's connected to the internet, we've obviously got issues with the Internet of Things. And well, it's not uncommon for manufacturers to maybe turn off a server or something like that, which may mean your smart lock is no longer very smart.
What do you think the next evolution in just in locks in general, locks and keys in general is? It seems like we've got so much tech that can kind of swim around the security space now.
We do. We do. We're able to use our mobile phones as keys, which, you know, 20 years ago was completely inconceivable and now is just expected. I know of people who are doing biohacking by inserting RFID chips under their skin to unlock their front doors.
Wow.
Yeah, where tech goes, especially if you're thinking about things like AI glasses and the wearables technology is just coming along in leaps and bounds. But I think we're still going to have doors for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think we're still going to need to keep them locked.
That's very fair enough. Aaron, thanks so much for giving us that great history.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Smith, the keyhole surgeon. Keen for more? Go to ABC Listen and follow the program by searching Anthony Burke's By Design.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.